I'm Echo.
And I'm Ether. Welcome to another Cohere Technologies Deep Dive podcast.
You know, it's funny how much we rely on, well, something we can't even really see.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I'm talking to you, the listener, right now, and you're probably streaming this deep dive on a phone or maybe a laptop, just completely surrounded by these invisible data networks.
Yeah, we just expect our mobile signals to work everywhere, all the time.
Right. But if you're the kind of person who likes to understand how the world actually functions behind the scenes, you've probably wondered about the physical limits of those invisible waves.
Yeah.
Like, how much data can you actually pump through thin air before the physics of reality just say, nope, no more?
Well, we do tend to treat wireless data like it's infinite, you know, like the air itself.
Yeah.
But it is very strictly bound by the laws of physics, the spectrum we actually have available, and the physical hardware we've built to transmit it. When you hit the ceiling of those limits, I mean, things break down really quickly.
And exploring how an entire industry is trying to, like, shatter that ceiling is our mission today. We're looking at a pretty deep stack of sources for this deep dive. We've got articles from Light Reading and the Mobile Network, some presentations from Telecom Insiders, and these really revealing technical blog posts from the recent May 2026 Mobile Network Innovation Summit.
The MNIS, yeah, over in London.
Exactly. And we are going to uncover how a relatively small software startup is basically helping telecom giants break what we thought were the absolute laws of wireless physics.
It's wild. They're trying to drag the entire global industry from this incredibly expensive brute force hardware approach into this wild new era of AI-driven software intelligence.
Right, and the scale of the shift we're looking at in these sources is just immense. For decades, the whole telecom playbook has been about throwing more metal at a problem, right?
Yeah, physically building more towers. But now they're fundamentally rethinking the actual geometry of how a radio signal moves through space.
So to really grasp the massive physical problem they're solving, we kind of need a stress test. And the sources point us straight to Canada.
A perfect example.
Right. Think about Canada's geography. You have a landmass of about 3.5 million square miles. That is the second largest country in the world, right behind Russia.
But the population is, what, smaller than Spain's?
Yes, and highly concentrated. So to cover this massive, largely empty, frozen expanse, two of the big telecom players up there, Bell Canada and TELUS, they share a network of only about 11,000 mobile sites.
Which means a mobile signal in Canada acts like a tireless long-distance runner.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it has to cover these incredible physical distances over rugged terrain just to reach a single user.
Yeah.
Now, to pull this off, Bell relies really heavily on their 850 megahertz spectrum. In telecom terminology, this is what we call low-band spectrum.
I always picture low-band as, like, the heavy-duty freight train of radio waves. Mm-hmm. It hugs the Earth, it travels huge distances without losing power, and it's fantastic at penetrating physical barriers, you know, like concrete walls or dense forests.
That is a solid way to visualize it, but there is a really cruel trade-off in telecom physics.
Of course there is.
The frequencies that travel the furthest are the absolute worst at carrying massive amounts of data.
Because the physical wave is just too wide.
Exactly. They just don't have the bandwidth for the data-hungry applications we all use today. I mean, you can't squeeze thousands of high-definition video streams into a low-band frequency without things slowing to a crawl.
Right.
So Bell Canada ended up with this severe low-band congestion. Everyone is connected, the signal is strong, but the pipe is simply too narrow to handle the volume of data people are asking for.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I'm looking at these stats, and normally this isn't an existential crisis, is it? I mean, if a carrier has network congestion, they don't reinvent physics, they just build more cell towers, right?
Historically, yeah. The traditional fix is called densification. If one tower is overwhelmed, you just build three more towers in that same area to share the load.
Or you go to a government auction and spend billions to buy a wider slice of the spectrum highway.
Right, you physically lay down more hardware or buy more invisible real estate.
But the financial reality completely shatters that traditional playbook.
Mm.
When we look at Bell Canada's hard numbers from the sources, well, neither of those options is on the table.
No, not at all.
Bell has actually been aggressively slashing its capital expenditure. They dropped their overall spending from $5.1 billion in 2022 down to $3.7 billion last year.
It is a staggering cut when you're simultaneously trying to solve a nationwide data congestion crisis.
Yeah.
They are basically starving the network of new hardware.
So I have to challenge the logic here. They need to push a fire hose volume of data through a garden hose size spectrum. across millions of square miles.
Right.
But they've just slashed the budget required to build new towers.
Yeah.
How are they physically moving more data without laying new hardware? Software can't bend metal or create new radio frequencies out of thin air.
Well, it sounds physically impossible. And this is exactly where the industry's interest violently pivoted to a company called Cohere Technologies.
Right.
They developed a software solution called the Universal Spectrum Multiplier, or USM. And to address your skepticism, no, it does not magically create new spectrum.
Good, because that would be alchemy.
Right. What it does is introduce a level of precision that was just previously impossible. Imagine a dark, crowded warehouse.
Okay.
In the past, to avoid people bumping into each other, you had to keep everyone really far apart, which meant you couldn't fit many people inside.
Sure.
Cohere's software acts like turning on the lights and giving everyone a highly detailed 3D map of the room. Suddenly, you can pack twice as many people into the exact same space without anyone colliding.
Wow.
Yeah, it effectively doubles the capacity of the deployed network without needing a single new antenna.
I'm still stuck on the how, though. How does a line of code tell a radio wave to be more precise?
It comes down to a massive breakthrough in how we measure the wireless channel. To understand the secret sauce, we really have to look at the technological differentiator here. Historically, conventional mobile networks use something called a time frequency channel measurement.
Let's translate that. Time frequency sounds like the network is constantly taking, like, rapid-fire statistical snapshots of the signal to figure out where to send the data. Like taking photos with a strobe light.
That is a very accurate comparison. But those strobe light snapshots are incredibly complex to process. And worse, the data ages almost instantly.
Because things move.
Think about a busy city street. If a truck drives by, or even if the wind blows a tree, the radio signal reflects differently.
So the snapshot the tower took a millisecond ago is already outdated.
Exactly. The network is constantly guessing based on old information. What Cohere did was abandon that time frequency model entirely. They moved to a delay Doppler geometric model.
Okay, delay Doppler.
What's fascinating here is that the delay Doppler model doesn't just look at the signal itself. It uses the signal to map the actual physical geometry of the environment. Yeah. It identifies the dominant reflectors in the real world, buildings, hills, even moving vehicles. It measures the delay, which is how long the signal takes to bounce off a building, and the Doppler shift, which calculates the velocity of moving objects.
So instead of taking a million blurry photos in a strobe light to guess where the signal should go, it builds a stable 3D geometric map of the environment.
Exactly.
Because a concrete building isn't going to suddenly jump 10 feet to the left, so the network knows exactly how the signal will behave when it bounces off that building.
Precisely. And because it possesses that perfect foresight, it allows the network to isolate and send multiple, highly focused beams of data to different users at the exact same time on the exact same frequency.
Okay. And in the industry, they call this multi-user MIMO spatial multiplexing, right?
Yes. Multi-user MIMO.
Okay. Let's make sure we and the listener don't get lost in the jargon. We're talking about taking that invisible highway of spectrum, and instead of cars taking up the whole road, this software lets you perfectly stack invisible lanes of traffic right on top of each other in the same physical space without them ever crashing.
That's exactly the mechanism. By knowing the geometry of the space, they can fold the data over itself safely. That is how you double the capacity without buying a wider highway.
And what's brilliant is how they actually deploy this. The sources highlight a feature of the USM software called Dynamic Network Alignment, or DNA.
Yes, DNA.
So this is where it gets incredibly practical for a company like Bell facing budget cuts. DNA is a zero-touch software process.
Which is key.
Right. It automatically aligns the legacy transmission infrastructure, like the old towers already out there, to support this spatial multiplexing. There's no human intervention required. Nobody has to drive a truck out of the tundra and physically climb a tower to swap out parts.
It completely removes the logistical and financial barriers. I mean, it is literally just software running on a server next to the base station, instantly making the existing hardware twice as smart.
And for you listening, connecting this back to what matters in the real world, this isn't just about ensuring your video stream doesn't buffer. There's a massive sustainability angle here.
Oh, absolutely.
Because operators can use this software to double capacity, they're able to reuse millions of existing 4G antennas. They don't have to rip them out, scrap them, and send millions of tons of heavy metals into the global e-waste stream.
Yeah.
It's so impactful that this technology literally just won the 2026 Giolomo Award for Best Mobile Technology Breakthrough over at MWC Barcelona.
It's a tremendous environmental and economic win. It solves the immediate pain points of CapEx and congestion. But as with any major paradigm shift, having the best technology doesn't mean you automatically win.
I'm glad you brought that up, because if I'm looking at this objectively, if this software is so miraculous, if it's cheap, green, and doubles capacity overnight, why isn't it already running on every single cell tower on the planet right now?
Well, that question moves our narrative away from the physics of wireless technology and straight into the brutal friction of corporate reality.
Yeah, the light reading article we have really digs into this fascinating vendor dynamic. Let's look at Bell Canada again. After Bell removed Huawei equipment from its network to comply with government security rules, it divided its 5G network between two massive legacy giants, Ericsson and Nokia.
Right.
Now, in the telecom world, these legacy vendors act as the absolute gatekeepers of the radio access network, the RAN. They build and control the base stations.
And here's the ecosystem war at play. Companies like Ericsson and Nokia have business models heavily predicated on selling new physical hardware. You know, new radios, new antennas, new baseband units.
Right.
Cohere software explicitly helps telecom operators avoid buying new hardware.
The irony is almost painful. Cohere is essentially walking up to the gatekeepers and asking them to install a lock that will put the gatekeepers out of business.
It is the ultimate telecom catch-22. The big hardware vendors are incredibly wary of opening their systems. And from a strictly operational perspective, I mean, their hesitation makes sense.
How so?
Well, Cohere is an unproven software scale-up trying to inject code into massive, critical national infrastructure. If an operator forces Ericsson to integrate Cohere's software, and that software causes a glitch that crashes the network across Toronto,
the public isn't going to blame Cohere.
Exactly. They are going to blame Ericsson. The vendor takes the reputation hit for the startup's code.
The sources actually confirm this tension isn't just theoretical. Ericsson outright confirmed to Light Reading last year that it is explicitly not working with Cohere on the Bell project.
Which is very telling.
It gives us a huge clue. Because Bell had highly successful trials of this software in Mississauga, Ontario, where they proved a 30 to 50% improvement in spectral efficiency. By a simple process of elimination, since Ericsson is out, Nokia must be the partner allowing Cohere into those Canadian trials.
It is a very delicate corporate dance, and it highlights a harsh reality discussed at length in the MNIS panel on startup survival. One of the blog posts noted that a staggering 90% of telecom startups fail.
90%.
The friction of dealing with these legacy gatekeepers is simply too high. To survive in this ecosystem, a startup cannot just have groundbreaking math. They need powerful operator champions, someone inside the big telecom company throwing their weight around.
Yeah.
And crucially, they need direct financial investment to prove the operator is serious.
Which perfectly explains the timeline here. Bell Canada didn't just buy the software, they directly invested in Cohere in January 2023 through their venture capital arm. Vodafone and Telstra have also backed them. They are putting their money on the table to force the legacy hardware vendors to cooperate.
The operators are applying immense top-down pressure to break the hardware monopoly.
So what does this all mean? For the telecom companies, their ultimate goal here isn't just saving a few million bucks on antennas in the short term. What they desperately want is absolute vendor agnosticism.
Yes.
They're tired of being locked into one company's closed ecosystem. They want to be able to run Cohere's software on any hardware tower, whether it's built by Nokia, Ericsson, Samsung, or anyone else.
They want the network to behave like a standard IT cloud environment. Think of your laptop. You buy the physical machine from one company, but you can run whatever software you want on it. Telcos want that exact same freedom for cell towers.
Which makes sense.
But Cohere's ambition doesn't stop at just solving today's hardware lock-in or network congestion.
Not even close.
Yeah.
And this is where the story shifts gears from fixing the present to literally building the architecture of the future. Because solving low-band congestion is really just Cohere's Trojan horse.
Exactly.
Once they are inside the base station, their ultimate play is turning every single cell tower into a real-time sensing network for the AI future.
This brings us to the major unveiling at the May 2026 MNIS in London. Cohere announced a new platform capability called Echo.
Echo.
That stands for Enhanced Channel Insight with Holographic Observability.
Holographic Observability. I love that the telecom industry is finally embracing sci-fi naming conventions.
It sounds futuristic, but it is deeply grounded in that delay Doppler physics we just discussed. To understand why Echo is so revolutionary for artificial intelligence, we have to look at the staggering data gap in current networks. Right now, your standard 5G base station is essentially flying blind.
Right.
It takes an aggregate statistical snapshot of a network's performance roughly every 15 minutes.
15 minutes. I mean, in modern computing time, that is a literal eternity. If my phone drops a signal, I notice it in milliseconds. But the tower's brain only checks the aggregate math 4 times an hour.
That is the reality of current infrastructure. In stark contrast, because Echo is built on that continuous geometric modeling, it logs 200 distinct network attributes every single second.
Every second. The sources say it generates over 400 million lines of telemetry per day, per sector.
Yeah. It measures latency, motion vectors, angle of arrival, and minute phase adjustments. It maps the physical reality of the antennas, the connectors, the radios, and the physical movement of every user device in real time.
I try to frame this in my head like this. Imagine you're trying to understand the global economy. Current 5G is like checking your bank balance once a quarter and just seeing a vague summary statement. You know generally what happened, but you can't act on it.
Right.
Echo is like having a real-time, millisecond-by-millisecond ticker of every single cent moving through every bank in the world simultaneously. One is a vague summary, the other is a high-fidelity, actionable reality.
That is the perfect analogy. And that high-fidelity reality is exactly what is required for AI RAN, which is artificial intelligence operating the radio access network. You simply cannot train an AI on a sparse 15-minute-old statistics. AI requires massive, dense, real-time data to make dynamic, split-second decisions about routing traffic and coordinating across multiple cell sites.
Wait, let me challenge the physics of this again. We just established that current base stations are basically maxed out just keeping our phones connected.
True.
If a legacy base station doesn't even have the processing power to handle a software update without choking, how on earth does it suddenly have the computing horsepower to process 400 million lines of new geometric data a day? That should melt the hardware.
It absolutely would melt the hardware if the base station had to process it. Most of today's base stations are far too resource constrained to analyze that data. They are structurally blocked from participating in AI RAN.
Ah, okay.
But Cohere solved this bottleneck by bypassing the hardware entirely. They developed an open API called E2SM LLC.
Another acronym, but explain the mechanism. How does an API solve a hardware bottleneck?
Think of the API as a bypass valve. It doesn't ask the legacy base station to think about the 400 million lines of data. It simply instructs the base station to stream that raw data feed directly to an external, highly powerful cloud server.
Oh, I see.
The base station just passes the information along without having to exert any computing effort to understand it. A simple software update opens this bypass valve, unlocking every old tower's ability to feed data to the AI RAN.
Okay, that makes sense. The heavy lifting happens in the cloud. So now the network is generating 400 million lines of holographic geometric data a day and passing it to a massive cloud brain. But what can we actually do with a real-time holographic view of the wireless channel?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is where the entire industry pivots from 5G into 6G. This data maps the physical reality of antennas, reflections, and motion vectors to the radio channel. We are no longer just sending data to phones, we are turning the network itself into a physical sensor.
The sources detail these futuristic use cases that are suddenly unlocked on existing infrastructure, and it blew my mind. The first one is digital twins. Because Echo is mapping the geometry of the environment using those radio wave reflections, operators can create perfectly accurate, real-time, digital models of a city's radio environment. Not a simulation of what should be happening, but a live, continuously updating 3D replica of the physical space.
Which is invaluable for enterprise optimization, predictive maintenance, and public safety. I mean, if a piece of hardware on a tower is physically damaged in a storm and drifts out of alignment by a few degrees,
the digital twin sees that geometric shift in real time.
Exactly, before the network even drops a call.
And the second massive use case is ISAC, Integrated Sensing and Communications. This basically uses the existing 5G cell signals as a passive radar network. We aren't just talking about tracking phones, we're talking about tracking physical objects that don't even have a signal.
Because the delay Doppler model maps the reflections of the signal, it can detect physical objects moving through the environment based entirely on how they disrupt the invisible waves. It can track physical movement without a single camera.
That is incredible.
The prime example the industry is looking at right now is detecting UAVs or drones.
Let that sink in for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You could track a rogue drone flying over a dense city block, not by seeing it, but just by analyzing how its metal body disrupts the invisible cell phone signals bouncing between buildings. That is wild.
It really is.
And of course, there is a massive business angle here. Robert Curran, an analyst with Appledore Research, had this brilliant quote comparing this exact capability to Google.
Yes, the monetization parallel he draws is striking.
Curran pointed out that just like Google monetized our search data to build an empire, telecom operators can now monetize this unique radio environment data set. They aren't just selling you a 50-gigabyte data plan anymore. They are selling access to a real-time 3D sensory map of the physical world.
It creates entirely new, highly lucrative revenue streams for telecom operators who have struggled for years to find a return on their massive 5G infrastructure investments. It shifts them from being passive, dumb pipes into intelligent sensing platforms.
It is incredible to see how this all connects. Let's just summarize the journey we've been on today. We started with Bell Canada, facing this incredibly grounded geographic problem. They were just making a desperate bid to save money on physical cell towers across the frozen Canadian tundra.
Right.
They turned to a startup called Cohere Technologies to double their capacity with software just to survive a budget cut.
And in doing so, by shifting to that delayed Doppler physics model to choreograph the data traffic, they accidentally catalyzed the exact technology needed to unlock AI RAN and the sensory networks of 6G.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because while the telecom industry is thrilled about the new efficiencies and the massive new revenue streams, there's a broader implication here for everyone listening.
There absolutely is. We've talked about the physics of radio waves, the business friction between startups and gatekeepers, and the technological breakthrough of spatial mapping. But there's a profound human element to this shift that we need to consider. Let me leave you, the listener, with this final thought to mull over. If a simple software update can turn our existing invisible mobile network into a real-time holographic radar, a network capable of tracking the physical geometry and movement of everything from cars to drones using delay Doppler physics, what does the concept of physical privacy look like in a 6G world where the air itself is a sensor?
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the invisible infrastructure all around you, and we'll catch you next time.